Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and today I am delighted on this Monday afternoon to be joined by Asim Rabbani and Jerry Taylor. We are here for the Axon Bulletin. We've finally got to that point, lads. A few weeks ago, we were talking about gauging how happy we were with Celtic's performances and our title challenge. Every Monday when we get together, I'm going to ask you the question again, Asim. How happy are you in the week? Yeah, the big one, the Glasgow Derby.
Yeah. As happy as I've been for quite a while when it comes to Celtic, that was everything we could have asked for and more on Saturday. I thought, you know, there was a lot of hype going into it, a lot of build-up, a lot of chat. You know, it was a full house, everyone was looking forward to it. And we just wanted to see that full performance from start to finish. And, okay, we started a bit ropey, but I thought from about 15, 20 minutes onwards, I thought that was as good as we played in a long time. Probably since the last time we beat Hearts away at Tynecastle. The atmosphere matched it. I thought the crowd were fantastic. Honestly, there was parts in that second half and I was like, Parkhead's not been like this in a long time. It was bouncing. You could feel it. The players were feeding off the crowd. The crowd were feeding off the performance. And it's, you know, the timing of it's just worked out perfect. We've really come to the fore. At the right time. I know the last couple of performances prior to it were a bit iffy, but we got the job done. And Brendan called it last week. He said he was really looking forward to the Hearts game, getting back to Celtic Park, getting in front of the 60,000 crowd and the pitch. And I just thought the key players that we spoke about all season, your Kyogo, your McGregor, you know, guys that haven't had their best seasons, but when push comes to shove, they show their worth. And I honestly really, really enjoyed that. And I think it stands us in a really good position. We're feeling good. The fans are feeling good. The players will be feeling good. And I'm really looking forward to next week now.
Well, this is the big thing, isn't it? Because the weekend past has really set us up for going in with the momentum, the confidence. There's a spring in our step. And I think the performance at the weekend definitely gives us it. I want to start because Asim's mentioned them. With the gaffer, Brendan Rodgers, your pal, Jerry, your buddy from back in October when you were his goalie, and mind games, the old John Lennon mind games. And I'll tell you something, right? He is laughing all the way to the bank, isn't he? It's brilliant. I mean, you know when somebody just takes the bait? You see it all the time on the socials at the minute. People just take the bait. Rodgers has just thrown a wee grenade and ran away, you know? And Clement has absolutely taken it. And the thing is, Jerry, the press are, you know, they're lapping it up because they want to get as much traffic as possible. Yeah. They want to set it up as a grudge match and all that. Last week, we were calling it a game of chess and we were asking whether Brendan had the moves. He has got the moves on and off the park, Jerry, hasn't he?
I love the artwork for that one as well, mate. It was fantastic. Yeah. Well, let me just kind of go on from what Asim was saying about the atmosphere. And I wasn't at the game, but you could feel the electricity coming for the TV. Well, that makes sense because it's anyway. So, but, you know what I mean. But do you know something? People will call me mad for this. Now, I'm not including the European games in this. I do think a lot of the Champions League game, we really gave a good go, and it was just fine margins at times. But league games, I've not felt like that. That's satisfied from a Celtic team in performance and the atmosphere. And I think it's since that first half against Kilmarnock last season, the 4-0. Ever since then, that half of there, I just don't feel like... I feel like we've been disjointed and papered over some cracks at times. But as you've seen over the past few months, momentum building, Brendan Rodgers, like you said, throwing some grenades and walking away. He's got the experience of getting through this. It's not just with Celtic, it's with Leicester, with Liverpool, with all the teams before then. He's got so much experience behind him. Now, he even duped me because I thought, what's he done here with that comment? But then when you see it in all its context, it's just, yeah, it's brilliant. And the fact that he's bitten is great. However, listen, I know the three of us, we're enjoying it just now, but the way this season's been going, anything can still happen. It's brilliant. It's a positive situation to be in. It's all in our hands. And I really think with the crowd behind us at the weekend, this could be a really, really special time. And we will have some fun, like the gaffer said. However, I wouldn't be surprised if things maybe wouldn't go our way. Maybe decisions or injuries, or some players could have a poor performance and the pressure gets them. I don't think it will be the case, but you've always got to be ready for that, especially the way the season's going. However, it's a happy Monday, yeah?
Happy Monday indeed. The thing is with that, Jerry, you're right what you're saying. This season has been inconsistent. And, you know, we have spoken often about turning a corner, Asim. And last week, Big John was saying, we've not turned any corners. We've just continually battled and came up against hurdles. Often, we've put the hurdles in front of ourselves and we've had to overcome them. But we haven't turned a corner. And other than the game at Tynecastle, and we know that everything that surrounded that game, Asim, and the fact that some of those decisions that were made were beyond our control and they really did affect the outcome of the game, we are on a really decent run. We're on a very consistent run of form at the moment. And the weekend, I think what it gave us was it gave us more of the free-flowing football. Yeah. And then, you know, Brendan Rodgers spoke about in his first time when everything comes together, and he spoke about the three elements, the holy trinity of, you know, the players and staff, the club and the fans all coming together as one, and he described it as an unstoppable force. Now, I've not really been getting that vibe this season, Asim.
No.
What was the difference at the weekend? A big part of it was the fans were up for it just as much as the team.
He spoke about it in the build-up to this game again, and it's something he's kind of touched on throughout the season, even when things weren't going well. He's alluded to the connect needs to be there, you know, between the fans, the players, and you know, even the hierarchy. Everything needs to be in Holy Trinity, like you said. But the feeling was on Saturday, I think even going into it, you just had a feeling that the fans would back the team regardless. Because like you said, we've not seen very consistent performances all season. So we've played in halves, sometimes not even. But I think even when that first few minutes where Hearts kind of started the better team, obviously, naturally, it was a bit nervy at times, but I just had the feeling that regardless of what happened on Saturday, the fans were going to back the team and push them over the line. And I think the players really responded to that. And I think there's a point around about the 60-minute mark, everyone just got up on their feet. I think it was when Callum McGregor did that kind of chase back, run, yes, sliding tack. You rarely see a roar like that for something like, just, you know, as a tackle and sprinting back. But I think that just signified where we all were at that point. It was honestly, it was beautiful. Everyone just kind of rose to their feet. It summed up our captain, who, you know, has taken stick at times, but he's one of those that I've always just kind of consistently backed, because when push comes to shove, McGregor's, you know, he turns out these kind of performances and these kind of moments in the big games. But even Dyson Maeda coming on, standing ovation again. You've not heard a roar like that all season for a player coming on. It just felt like everything's coming together at just the right time. And I think, you know, that's what we've all said in the last few weeks. We need to come together. We've all got our kind of grievances about certain things. But, you know, I've backed the manager in terms of, I think when we give him the tools, when things are going well, I think he's the right man for the job. And I think when Jerry talked about the comment earlier, I think context was key when he said that comment about having fun next week. It wasn't mm-hmm. just in isolation. He spoke about it before that. But as you say, he's got them on toast because Clement's just bit straight away. And he's bit a few times now at comments. So it just shows you they're feeling the pressure. And Rodgers always backs himself. That's the thing. He backs himself at the start of the season. He said it again around December time. He goes, you know, I've seen about five different Rangers managers coming, you know, and he's seen them off. He can talk the talk and walk the walk. That's the difference.
That is the difference. And you're right, straight off the bat, I see him, he's going on about, we'll see you back here in May.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of these things, right? I think there's an element of him playing the game a wee bit, right? He's so cute when it comes to that. And he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. But in terms of a manager, you think of we were talking about it at the weekend, Kevin McCluskey and I, all the managers, all down the ages, have given you that rousing kind of belief. And sometimes they've got to, right? They've sometimes got to. And in particular, when the chips are down, sometimes it's more important. You can go right back to all those phenomenal quotes from Jock Stein. But I was talking about some of the most recent managers. Lenny had it, you know, the Thunder, this is just the beginning. We never stop, Ange. And, you know, I don't think it's
the Ronnie Roar.
The Ronnie Roar. Who could forget that, eh? I just did. And the thing is, Jerry, I've got a great Ronnie story. I don't think I can tell it on this, though, by the way. I've got a great Ronnie Dyler story.
You would make a great guest, by the way, for one of your shows.
Phenomenal.
Oh, he'd be amazing.
Be brilliant.
Did he not go out for a pint in his first week when he was Celtic manager? He went out for a pint in the city centre and then get mobbed.
Well, he went for more than a pint after the Inverness game. That's all I'm saying. He went for more than a pint. And
get him back.
But, exactly. He's a good guy. But, you know, I don't think it's that contrived, Jerry, because, I mean, you're a man in the entertainment business, right? You're an entertainer. You're a writer. You work in comedy and in theatre. And some people obviously go into these moments and they've got a few wee lines stored away, haven't they? They know that they're going to pull out these lines. One of the big ones are, again, I've said this so many times, I'm not a massive fan of English football now, but I was. I was right into the English game, right up to even the big Sky money coming in the initial period. And Cantona was a player that I loved. I loved Eric Cantona, right? And I've read so many times how, you know, that whole speech about the seagulls following the trawler was just all gibberish, and he knew it was gibberish. And he knew that if he said it all these years later, we'd be doing what we're doing right now, still talking about it. And we're talking about it. This isn't even a Man U forum. So I think Rodgers knows what he's doing, Jerry, right? And it's working because, you know, he's talking about it being disrespectful, the big fella, Clement. And it's like, mate, seriously, if you're not focused on this game, it can absolutely, you know, pass you by. And Rodgers has been through this so many times against so many different managers, as Asim says. And I'm going into it, right? Listen, I'm never 100%. The only time I've really been 100% confident is when we were giving them 5-0 beatings on a regular basis, Jerry. Going into these games, generally speaking, they're pretty tight, right? And that's why we get worried about the officiating. We get worried about injuries. We get worried about, you know, somebody getting having a bad game or throwing somebody in that doesn't know how to see the game out and all this kind of stuff. We worry about that. But Rodgers has got it, and he's got it in droves, Jerry. And I think that's the biggest thing that's given me a bit of confidence going into this game this week.
Yeah. I think there's just part of me that doesn't... I think 95% was like, we've got this, just the way momentum's going. And like you say, the way Rodgers has been speaking and got the players clicking again. But there's just that 5% of me because of the way this season's gone. I'm like, I'm not going ahead. I've had plenty of my tweets bookmarked and they've backfired on me. So I think I'm just being very cautious. But if you just see the way everything's been going with the whole crowd behind them, I think when we're talking about that Callum McGregor tackle and the roar went up, it was almost as if we'll look back on that and say, that was the moment we won the season. It's mad and it was a tackle. But it just felt like a big relief as if, CalMac's back. I think they were doing a lot of work, from what I heard, on his fatigue because of his legs were looking a bit gone. So they worked more on fatigue and fitness, and you could see it just come to fruition. It was amazing to see again. But a long way ago. The thing that got me that I laughed at was Clement. He kind of does that thing I do when I'm angry, and I'm like, I'm not going to bite, but he's like, oh, look, I'm not going to bite, and then 10 minutes later, and you go, actually, do you know what? So it was like, yeah, I've got too much respect to do that, and then like, it was like 12 seconds later.
Yeah, absolutely. SpongeBob interlude. See the thing, Jerry, you've actually made me remember, I don't want to turn this into an English Premiership show.
Kevin Keegan.
He rattled Keegan.
Oh,
Ferguson rattled him, didn't he? And he lost his bottle.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I remember seeing that, and even after the age I would have been, I would have been in my teens, maybe. I was like, this guy's broke. Yeah. I think I was in, what age would I have been? When was that?
I remember watching that as well, and at the time you just knew that's it. Newcastle had blown it. As soon as he came out with that rant, you just knew it.
Fergie knew it as well.
I'm going to use this to move on slightly. Magnet67 is giving you big licks on the top there. Again, I know you've worn it and you've spoken about these stocks before. Tell us a wee bit about them and tell us about that specific one and where we can get it.
Yep. So basically there's an online, it's on Twitter and Instagram. So I remember the last time I wore it, it got quite a lot of attention as well. It's FC Palestina. So they make lots of different shirts, lots of different designs and colours, sizes. And it was all obviously with the purpose of raising funds for those in Gaza and Palestine that have been obviously affected by the ongoing genocide that was taking place there. So many people did ask about it last time, then I put out a link. So again, that Cheers Magnet 67. I'll put out another kind of link after for anyone interested. All the proceeds obviously go to a good cause. But yeah, it's handy that it's a nice top to wear as well.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, it is. It's a belter. Big shout out, says, but at least Paddy's not giving you grief, Jerry. That will probably come later in the show.
It won't be long.
Big shout out to Cliftonville FC and Paul as well, is saying that, the one Irish Cup, you would have seen the scenes at the weekend after a 45-year wait. Not quite as bad as Hibs with the Scottish Cup that time, but yes, absolutely brilliant. Well done to everybody involved in that club. And there's a few players I want to talk about in relation to the performance that we've seen at the weekend and then moving into the game against Rangers. It's all about that big game. AGSC Tech brings us up. Weakness from Mumra. Anybody who brings in a Thundercats reference is coming up on the show. I'm going to bring your comment up. Mumra, Clement, you've given me an idea for some more artwork there. I'll need to work on it. He should take Rogers' fun comment as mischievous banter and bat or gently bat. Absolutely. Instead, he overreacts and labels it disrespectful. I would have thought disrespectful was spitting in the direction of Celtic fans the last time we played them at Celtic Park, but there you go. I mean, that wasn't even mentioned. Neither was a half bottle of Buckfast being thrown at Matt O'Reilly. I thought that was pretty disrespectful and quite dangerous, but again, didn't merit a mention at the time. You've mentioned Callum McGregor, the captain, El Capitano, and can I just say, guys, right, this time last week, none of you two, obviously, comments were coming in saying that McGregor needs dropped. And what I said, and I'm not a tactical genius by any stretch of the imagination, this is just looking at where we are in terms of a team and him being a leader going into these big games. He was not good in terms of the standards that he set, Jerry, and the games that he's played up until the weekend there. Mm-hmm. But it was part of his recuperation, wasn't it? It was part of him getting back up to the full fitness. And that moment that Asim mentioned, where he has basically ran from the 18-yard box right back and made two tackles. It was a double tackle, wasn't it? I mean, he gets in front of the first player, slide tackles the second one, tackles him with the wrong leg. It looks more natural to go in with the right leg, wins the ball, the crowd go wild. And it was basically a marker to say, I'm back, and maybe a wee point to prove to himself, not to the gaffer. I think the gaffer's always believed in him, and some fans, Jared, because he was getting written off. And I was saying last week, he's only 30. You know, he'll be back. It was just all about getting minutes in his legs.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Danny Boy, don't want to grass you up, but Danny Boy put that in the comments, didn't you? And I was like, oh, Danny Boy, your bed is calling, mate. It's crazy.
Danny, you've got a right to reply. I'll look for your response.
Come on, Danny. Let's go. But listen, nobody's going to be tougher on him than himself with Callum McGregor. Anyone that I've spoken to that know them at work for him recently, even Scott Brown said it in the interview, name drop. He said that his application and his attitude is unrivaled. Now, you could see it on the park. Now, the fans have been getting on his back, some of them. He knows that he's not been great. It's not been his best season. There's been a lot of loose passes for McGregor that's so unlike him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he didn't do what some other players were doing. He showed respect because he could have quite easily told the fans to shut up because that's him back, but he didn't. He just carried on about his game and showed us by his performance that he's working hard at that aspect. And you can never doubt him. Look what he's got us through. I was the first person to say when Scott Brown left, I wasn't sure about McGregor being a captain because obviously I was clueless. And look what he's done. He's been unreal, and I think it's been really harsh for some people to say him get dropped. Aye, rest him maybe at times if he's been injured, he's been stop-start for him. And he shows that when it matters, he comes up trumps. He's done it time and time again, season after season. His late goals against Aberdeen, etc. He's always there to do it, and he's going to have plenty of money in the bank for me for the next couple of seasons.
He's got credit in the bank. You're right. Yeah.
He's a very different captain to Brown. And I remember at the time, that's what people were maybe concerned about, because you've gone from Bruni, who's obviously in your face. He's one of those. He kind of grabs the game by the scruff of the neck. But Callum's captains in a very different but equally effective way. You know, he just leads by example in every sense, whether it's off the pitch, in the training room, on the training field. Yeah, how he plays on the match days, just generally, you can see there's a respect there. You know, he's got a respect of those around him, a respect from the manager. He doesn't need to be the most shouting and bawling, but look, I don't think he's a shrinking violet either. You've seen him on the pitch; he can give it when he needs to, and he can rally the troops. So, honestly, I've got so much admiration for McGregor as a player, how he's conducted himself as Celtic captain, and I think he's earned. He's earned being cut slack at times when he's had maybe a few bad games. Look at the amount of football that guy's played for the last 5-6 years. You know, he's probably up there in terms of European football for number of games played for club and country. And I just think when he's not there, even when he's not on top form, I still think we're a better team for having him there. You know, I just think he makes things tick. He's always available. And I think we've, like you said, these last few games where he's been playing, people have maybe questioned it, but it's all probably been geared up towards be at your best against Hearts. I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls off another brilliant performance next week. And as Jerry said earlier, just to kind of say that obviously nothing's been done yet, and I agree, you know, it's been a topsy-turvy season. So by no means, I'm the same as you, Jay, the amount of bookmarks I've got in my tweets over the last few weeks. So they're all waiting to pounce, but I'm hopeful they're not going to get that opportunity because we're coming strong at the perfect time. And, you know, things are massively in our favour. But, of course, you don't count your chickens. There's work to be done. But essentially, we're one victory away from winning the 3-0.
It's an incredible feeling. And as I say, we've been gauging it all season because the emotions have been up and down. And these guys on a Monday, it's all about trying to gauge what's happened at the weekend. I'm not getting ahead of myself either, absolutely not, because we have had, and it's been described as a Jekyll and Hyde season quite often on a Celtic State of Mind. But Callum McGregor is back. Not only is he back in the team, but he's back putting in the performances we would expect. And Sean Johnston says, Calmack to dictate the game on Saturday and put them back in their place. Need a full 90-minute performance on the park and from the crowd. Hail, hail. And you've reminded me, Sean, putting them back in their place. Chris Sutton, remember when he signed, said, putting them back in their place. That's exactly what he said, wasn't it? It wasn't putting them back in their box. And Sutty, at that point, I think a lot of people thought he was arrogant coming up from England and all the rest of it. But how do you react to that? You use it to fuel you. You don't use it and say, oh, that's disrespectful, and then come back in the next press conference and all that kind of stuff. And Sutty was right that season because we won the treble. Craig McGeechan, and obviously this is on in relation to Asim's jersey, en route to buy it. Brilliant. You are inspiring people to go and donate to a really good cause as well. And we've got Patrick Harrell keeping us up to date. Celtic FC women, of course, are playing their Rangers counterparts, and it's half-time. Nothing each at the moment. What's Stephen Donnelly. As we speak, mate.
On a Monday.
On a Monday.
Bank holiday Monday. So it is.
Bank holiday Monday. Yeah. We were at the press conference with Eleanor Sadiku, and the press conference is now on the actual YouTube channel. Stephen Donnelly. There was a very high boot by a Hearts player on Saturday at the game. How was that not VAR? Yes, yesterday as well, I know Rangers were playing, but I was otherwise engaged and getting kept up to date with various people showing you the scores coming in. And I think one of the biggest things was the issue around the officiating again, Asim, and it is a concern, and it isn't getting any better. And, you know, going into the game, if it's fine margins, I mean, we beat them 1-0 in the first game of the season. We beat them 2-1. It's been 3-3. These games have been very, very tight. And it might come down to that poor decision. That still worries me, Asim, going into this game.
Yeah, I watched the game yesterday, and like, I know the scoreline was 4-1, but they were not very good. They were not very good at all. They were struggling. They got a goal literally 10 seconds before half-time to make it 1-1 against 10 men, and that kind of probably changed Kilmarnock's approach in the second half, and naturally tired and lost a couple of late goals. But with regards to referee, so within 2 minutes, the thing, obviously, ultimately they came to the correct decision, as in there was a handball incident. I don't know if you've seen it, either of you. Even Kenny Miller was like, that's shocking that it was even sent to VAR. But ultimately, what was the ref's name? Dickinson, I think.
Yeah, David Dickinson. Right. Yep.
So he came to the right decision, and fair play to him that he did the unusual, which is overrule. You know, when they go over to the monitor, usually it's only heading in one direction. It's rare that we see that not done. But what's baffling is, why are they sending them? Why are they sending them when even the referees looked at that? Anyone watching that, and that's not even a penalty. Mm-hmm. But the fact they felt the need, obviously 2 minutes in, they're trying to, like, people talk about, oh, it's conspiracies or your pound. Absolutely not. The fact that they even sent him over to have a look at that says they're trying every trick in the book here. You know, and just hoping that the ref goes, I have been sent over, we'll do the usual. Fair play to Dickinson, he overturned it. But how rare is that? And what does that tell you about the people in the VAR team that are actually even thinking, looking at that and saying, I will send them over to have a look at that? Nobody watching that thought that was a penalty. So that was baffling. And then again, they get obviously the penalty later in the game, which it was. Red card, I think, was harsh because we've seen similar. Again, it's about consistency. You know, like, if that's a red card, fair enough. But then so was the St. Johnson one against us a few weeks back at Celtic Park, where it was no penalty, no card. What's the difference? You know, they've stopped the ball going in on the goal line with their hand. There was no intent there in yesterday's one, and there was no intent in the St. Johnson one, but two completely different decisions. So, as you say, that's the worry. We've still got 3 games to go. Decisions can massively impact the course of a game. And when we've seen such shocking decisions, the Hearts penalty against us at Tynecastle completely changed the course of a game, then of course we can't count our chickens yet, because you can do as much as you want on the pitch. If decisions are getting made that are going to, you know, to take you down to 10 men or give teams penalties, then you're up against it. So, yeah, we've got to be mindful of that.
No, it's always in the back of my mind. And that was another performance. And I think the performance actually at the weekend in the Celtic Hearts game was pretty poor as well. The incident mentioned with a high boot. And there was a few others. I mean, you know, Greg Taylor was taken out whilst Hearts were on an attack. And they weren't penalised. And one of them resulted in a fantastic save by Joe Hart. Yes. And I want to talk about Joe Hart for a bit, because, Jerry, you're a goalkeeper. You have played under Brendan Rodgers.
Joe Hart, that sounds good, doesn't it?
That is mad. Say that again.
Well, Jerry, you are a goalkeeper, and you've played under the great man, Brendan Rodgers.
More than Scott Bain has.
Aye.
Oh, that's true.
201 games as an unused substitute, Scott.
More than Sigurdsson and Bain combined.
That's brilliant.
That's a mad start.
There you go, Jerry. That is superb. Joe Hart, he's retiring at the end of the season, as we know. When he retires, he'll have spent three seasons at Celtic. He's won a double, a treble, and he's going for another double. I think in terms of his personality, his character, his leadership, Jerry, he's brought a lot of qualities, not just what you see on the park. But I think this season, what we've seen more than anything is that quality on the park. And he done it again at the weekend. There was a number of saves, brilliant saves. The one I was talking about with Greg Taylor getting taken out, basically, by the Hearts player. Hearts break away, and it was the big body save, wasn't it? Just the big Starman save, and he was able to do that. I described it as Schmeichel-esque. He's been brilliant. And again, he's one of these guys that we're talking about, like Calmac, and we'll come to Kyogo, we'll come to James A. Forrest and Matt O'Reilly, Rio Atati. But Hart is in there, and he's coming up with the goods at the right time as well, Jerry.
Yeah, right. Going to say, bold statement here. He's retiring too early. Now, it's our fault. It's our fault as well. You're up for player of the season within your squad. That's unreal. For a goalkeeper to get that, it shows you how valuable he's been. Now, we all said, I was one of the biggest that said, I think it's time. It's time for him to go. This was before the season started, and he's proved me wrong. And I think maybe he's let it get into his own head, because he'll see what's online. He's very active on social media, but he'll be seeing all this. Maybe everyone around him's convinced him, but then he's this one season. I know he's not going to stay at Celtic, but Joe Hart, if you're listening, don't retire. You've definitely got another couple of years in you. I honestly believe that.
What age is he?
37.
37? Tate Gordon's, 41?
Yeah, I'm going to say 37, but I'm going to check it just in case he's celebrated a birthday in the last few months. He may be 36. Maybe 36.
Guys, but, everyone...
He's 37, eh?
I agree. On the pitch, though, you actually look at this second half of the season, it's probably his best spell, for Celtic. So he's not getting any slower or, any poorer. So I think he's got another season in him if he wanted. Like you say, maybe not necessarily us. I think, as much as absolutely we're all in absolute admiration for him, I think we're all in agreement that, that we do need to be looking at buying another goalkeeper for the future years now. So, but he's shown form, which doesn't suggest a guy who's on the decline.
I'm going to break away for a moment, and this is not negative, but it's something we were chatting about as a group this morning. So I'm going to break away to talk about the fact that he's retiring and where it's going to leave us in the summer in terms of a rebuild. And we'll get back to the Hearts and the Rangers games. But Paddy Ladley's back in, Jerry.
Yeah, it is.
Is Jerry coming to Dunoon? So I can tell him to his face that it's all his fault.
You look Dunoon, like a profile picture.
I know. Dunoon, if you haven't heard, we are going to Dunoon for the first time. Big Ewan Martin, a long-time viewer and contributor, actually, to A Celtic State of Mind. Very supportive.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Basically has enticed us to go to Dunoon by saying it is the most beautiful place on the planet, sending me pictures and all that. And by the way, it looks gorgeous. I've never been. Axom has never been. But we're going with Peter Grant and Joe Miller. And that's a week on Friday. So if you do want to come along, there's a few tickets, not many, underneath this video. But there's also tickets, a ticket link underneath this video for something called, and I'm going to put it out there, it's called the Jerry Taylor Show, right? And it's in Kilmarnock, of all places. Yes. Jerry, tell us a wee bit about this. I love pushing anything that the Axom team are into and doing creatively. This sounds great. Tell us a wee bit about it.
Well, mate, it's been every year, maybe every second year, I put on a big variety show. This year, it's the Jerry Taylor Show at Centre Stage, Kilmarnock, one night only. And I'm chuffed, really chuffed. I've got my long pal, my long-standing Abby Watson, who's a world-class vocalist, she's been touring with the Osmonds and been in Vegas and stuff, so we're in business together, and she's going to be our vocalist. We've got Wee Wido. So I want to say this, a lot of people just see him as a wind-up on Twitter, but he's actually a fantastic performer. We became really pally over the past year. He's become my best pal. He's going to be the godfather to my baby. I'm going to be the godfather to his. And this isn't an old pals act. I've seen him perform, right? We mess about in that. So I've written some sketches for me and him that will, I think that's going to absolutely blow the roof off the place. One sketch, we're playing two giant seagulls, and then the other one I can't give away. And we've also got the legend Dean Park as the headline act. Now, years ago, I was taken to the Gaiety Theatre by my granny, and we watched this thing called The Gaiety Whirl, and it was Dean Park and Alan Stewart doing all these sketches. And I remember saying to my granny, I'm watching this audience laugh going, that's what I want to do. So we've come full circle that now he's going to be the headline act in my variety show when he was the guy that inspired me to kind of do all this in the first place. Brilliant. So I'm over the moon. It's 13th of July, so it'll be a busy weekend for some that won't be able to make it, so I'm happy with that. And the rest of yous can fill the place. Now, genuinely, the deal that we've got at the theatre, I've got like 3 weeks to sell so many tickets, or they pull it, right? That's just the way some theatres work and all that, okay? So I've got a Wayne coming, guys. So if you come along, get the tickets. The link's on my Twitter, Facebook, on Centre Stage Kilmarnock. It's going to be a hilarious night out. If you know my humour, it's daft. I'll be doing some stand-up and some special things along the way. It's a night of madness, and we just want to create some laughs for the family. It's the whole family. It doesn't matter what age you are. I try and write for teenagers, so ages below will laugh, ages above will laugh. So if you can come along, tickets are on sale now.
Right. Ticket links under the video, Jerry. Oh, yes, yes, the creativity of the Axon Bunch. And we are going to be announcing something, I've seen Jerry and I, very, very soon in relation to a new A Celtic State of Mind show, fully produced multi-camera show, multi-camera angle show in a brilliant venue in Glasgow with some tremendous guests. So that is going to be something that's for the YouTube channel. It's coming soon, and we will keep you updated, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks. The conversation we were having this morning on the back of the Joe Hart retirement and the fact that he played so well again at the weekend and he's going to be massive in the Rangers game, is I wrote a blog at in the summer there talking about the 10 guys I thought Celtic should move on. And there was a couple who didn't move on. One of them was Liam Scales. But I thought to myself, keep it out there because it's of its time. It's at that moment, the players that I felt didn't have a future at Celtic, Liam Scales was on the list, right? Stephen Welsh was on the list, but other than those two, I think the rest of them are still on the list or have gone, because James McCarthy was on the list. So here we go, here's my updated one, guys. I just want you to tell me your thoughts in the comments section, because when I wrote it, I thought to myself, wow, this is an incredible rebuild. If all of these guys leave, there's no way they're all going to leave in one window. So you've got Joe Hart and he's retiring. Gustav Lagerbelk doesn't have a future at Celtic. If Rodgers is here, and I'm pretty confident he will be. Adam Ida, obviously the loan will end. The big question is, do we then buy him permanently? So he's going to be out of the building before the decision is made. And the same is the case with Paolo Bernardo. We've then got Yang. And what I've put here is, yes, I would let him go, but I'd rather loan him out. There's something about Yang. He's shown some elements of talent that I think it's worth persevering with him. And I'm the same with Odin Holm. I think that he did show some promise. He's only 20. Loan him out, get him some game time. He could be a player for the future. The rest of them, I'm just wanting ready, right? And this is harsh. I'm being ruthless, guys. James McCarthy, Yuki Kobayashi. Oh, people have been...
controversial one.
Yeah, people have been, when it comes to that one, saying that they would disagree with me. Benjamin Sigrist. We've also got Kwon, currently at St Mirren. I'll let him go. Marco Tilio, Alexandro Bernabe, Liam Shaw, who's still a Celtic player, Mikey Johnston, yep, Saeed Haksabanovic, and Johnny Kenny. So my list has actually gone from 10 last season to 15 with another two that I think we should loan out. So 17 players. Now, I know that's not going to happen in one window. I'll come to you first, Asim. Anybody in there you would keep?
No, actually, none of them, other than the ones that you mentioned for loan potentially, like Holm. Maybe. I still think there's something in there with Holm potentially. He's still quite young. I'm sure he's only about 22. Maybe I've got that wrong. But yeah, none of the other ones, like you say, I forgot Liam Shaw still in the building, Johnny yeah. Kenny, Haksabanovic, absolutely not. McCarthy, time to go. Mikey Johnston, I know some people are probably, I don't know how he's finished the season with West Brom, but he's obviously had that really kind of good spell. Mm-hmm. I think they're in the playoffs, so you wonder what his future will be. But no, I think you're 100% right, and it won't happen in one window, but we should be trying to get rid as many as possible and like you say, loan out the couple that we might feel could offer something down the line. But I think for too long, we're just hoarding players. We're just keeping them for the sake of it, or struggle to offload them. And it's just doing nobody any favours. And we've heard before, Rodgers likes a kind of tight-knit squad. He prefers a smaller squad. And that's far too many players that are just not contributing, and that we need to be getting off the wage bill. And just like you say, for their own good as well, they need to be going playing football. It's just pointless having all these non-contributors.
No, you're right. You imagine weekly asking how much wages are going down yeah. Swanee there, because the word you use, non-contributing, right? And that's what it comes down to. It's not that he's playing and I don't fancy him. They're just the guys in that team, other than obviously the retiring Joe Hart, the two guys who are returning to their parent clubs, these guys are not contributing to the Celtic side, to the larger squad. And I think there comes a point where there needs to be a ruthlessness. Jerry, it's unlikely that 15 or 17 or even a dozen players will move in one window, of course. But that's my list. That's the guys that I think need to move on for us to then, you know, have a tighter squad, but bring in quality. And some of the guys, they probably should have been leaving a season or two ago.
Mm-hmm. So that Travis song keeps coming into my head when we talk about this Driftwood, isn't it?
Yes.
We don't call them Deadwood, but it's like a jumbo sale needed, isn't it? We just need to... I feel like we've been saying this a lot of the pre-seasons, and it seems to be a lot of the same players. Is Sorrow gone? Aye, he's gone now, isn't he?
Yes.
We still get him, aye. Okay, so, like you said, if they manage to get all 15 out, it would be some kind of miracle. You're going to get players that are going to dig their heels in. How long's Haksabanovic get left in his contract? Because my fear is that even now Stoke don't want him, he's going to dig his heels in just for the money here. Like I feel like that's the kind of personality he is. And I also am worried about that because he seemed to be one of the kind of toxic characters around the dressing room from what I was hearing. So I think they need to start getting... They'll obviously need to get offload a lot of these players for free up some wages as well. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they've started moving on that now and we start to hear it quite early on in pre-season. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
The interesting one out of those for me is O, because mm-hmm. you know he's totally out the picture now. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas before he was obviously the second striker to Kyogo, he's nowhere to be seen now at all. So I wonder what's in his head. He'll obviously be looking at that. The guy's got obviously international aspirations as well. It's interesting. I've not had a chance to read it yet, but I know Al Morrison from the show has put out a blog there comparing him and Anita. And how, in terms of stats, O compares, they're very similar, but I think it's almost in favour of O. And having watched them both, just from my own kind of gut instinct, I always thought O had something, but I just feel like we both managers didn't really trust him in the absence of Kyogo. He very rarely kind of trusted him to take the main striker role, whereas with Ida, I feel like we could. I just feel like Ida offers a wee bit more. If I had to pick between the two right now, I would rather have Ida next season, maybe then sign another striker and offload O for maybe, like you say, a loan or whether he wants to move elsewhere. But if I had to pick between the two, I would rather sign Ida and find a move for O, just from my own kind of opinion on watching both of them.
Yeah, you're right. Alan has put it all together in terms of the data. You can't forget the impact O was making. He had a very, very good... goals and assist ratio because he wasn't getting a lot of minutes. But again, I think my decision on that one is just the fact he's not going to play Welsh Brendan. It's a wee bit like Lagerbjelk. I've nothing against the guy. But Welsh Brendan Rodgers is in his charge. He's not going to play. And yeah. I don't think O's going to play either.
Would you stick O out on loan? Would you put him in that category? See how he does in the same league?
Three. Yeah, he's got time on his hands. It's maybe the one that's on the fence, Jerry, and you think perhaps... a loan deal would work. The thing is, right, see at the weekend there, right, 15 minutes to go, It's one each, and you're making a substitution up top. Who do you bring on, Ida or O, Jerry? Who do you trust?
See, this is the thing, right? I think if we look at it this way, see if somebody doesn't give you the choice and go, right, we're getting rid of one and it's going to be this one, I'd be like, all right, either way, because it just shows how close I think they are. So for me, just now it would be Ida because he's had more match game, he's had more match practice than that. But if it was if it was when they both had the same amount of games this season, I reckon I would probably say O. I don't see too much difference between them, apart from a Celtic tattoo, if I'm being honest. I love the big guy's attitude and stuff, but
it's all got a Celtic tat. When did he get that? He's really bought in, isn't he, the big man?
I just think, I don't think there's too much difference between him. I don't think O's had a fair crack of the whip. I really don't. But I will say, I wouldn't be unhappy if we kept either over O. That's where I'm at.
I was similar to you. I used to, for quite a while, I said the same. Like, O's not really had that run of games that Giakoumakis had previously, or even Ida had a wee spell there, where you could properly judge him, and that's under two managers now. He's not really had that. So then you, as Paul John says, you then kind of look at it like that's a couple of managers that haven't really fully trusted him to be our main man. And whether he can grow into that's where I'm on the fence. I think, you know, maybe there is still something there that he can develop and get more game time in our league. But you look at Ida, he scored some big goals in big games. He's won us games late. He's literally won us 4 points in those two games at Easter Road and Fir Park, the crucial goal at Ibrox. Oh, you can't really say he's done that to that same impact in his 18 months or so that he's been here now. So I think that's where I'd probably lean towards Ida, personally.
Jerry asked about Haxa. Haxa's got a year to go, Jerry. He's got one year left in his contract, yeah.
No, don't like that. I don't know. Do you think, Asim, do you think O's had that chance to do what Ida's done at that point in a season, at this stage in a season? I don't remember him like giving that run of games to come
he's
on.
Not,
and
he's not really had. I think there may have been games where he did. It might have been Killy, Rugby Park, I think, where Kyogo was really off form. And I think O got the start of that game and just didn't do it. And it's harsh because that's the way it is. You get the chance, and if you don't deliver, and it's a defeat, you know, you get tarnished with, you know, people will be like, oh, we brought in O and it didn't work, and then he's back out of the team. So I do feel he's not really had that run, whereas Giakoumakis prior to him, who I do think is a better player, had a kind of solid run. They were kind of mixing it between the two, and now he does had a good few starts and gets a solid 20 minutes each game. So you're right, there was that kind of thing in the back of my head that O's not had that, but then you look at two managers that decided that. And, you know, we've got to trust them on that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're talking about a defeat and players that you remember because of a defeat, and none more so than Douay against Clyde away in the Scottish
Cup. Douay.
Roy Keane as well, though.
You know, that was his debut. Oh, my God. There's a great picture, actually, of Roy Keane making his Celtic debut, and he's running alongside Joe Miller of Clyde. Joe Miller came on as a sub in that game. He's going to be at Dunoon as well. It's incredible how these things
I'm work. Still not over that. That's probably the biggest ripping. I was working in a call centre. I remember that, and then having to work the next week. It was horrible.
Remember Robbie Keane's debut as well? That was one to forget. Anything he made these high-profile, high Kilmarnock in midweek.
I know. These are the things. I know you get caught up in the one player and the profile, and then we just don't perform as a team. Stephen Donnelly. Do we start with Maidaw on Saturday? I would 100%, Stephen.
Yeah.
Unless there is an issue with his fitness, Maidaw starts. Forrest also starts. I'm going to ask you guys the same question on the wings. I think James Forrest has come in. And, you know, again, Brendan Rodgers talked about mind games. Brendan Rodgers was talking about James Forrest a few weeks before he started playing as well as he currently is. And I just had the sense that he would play, but it would be fleetingly, wee cameos, 20 minutes here and there. And he's starting games. And now I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know what, maybe he does have it in the tank to play against Rangers and to play against Kelly and St Mirren and Rangers again in the cup final. Maybe Brendan's setting him up to say, you know what, you're going to be playing. I'm going to have you running yourself into the ground for 65 minutes, then I'm going to take you off. Jerry, I'd start with Forrest and Maeda. I think it's a no-brainer unless there's any issues with their match sharpness. What's your take on it, Jerry? I'll ask you first.
Absolutely agree with you on that one. It's got to be just with the form they're on and with Maeda. And even see when he came on, he's done his usual. He's bombed into the down the wing, and then he's put that terrible ball straight across, and it's almost went out for a. I was loving it. I didn't care.
He's back. Yeah,
here he is. Here he is. You know he's good. But I think James, with my energy, with James Forrest's experience and skill, as well as patience on the ball, I just think it's a no-brainer. We've got to start with them. This is they're both kind of hitting a peak just now, and let's just we've just got to go for it. You've got to play Maida against Tavernier. You've got to. And I think, like I said, with that older head on James Forrest, it's going to be great. I'm not being unfair on Kuhn, but he's done a decent job coming in, but I still think there's a long way to go with him. There's a couple of times he could have maybe released a shot quicker and then just dilly-dallying on the ball, trying a bit too much. So I don't know how he can handle the pressure. We know Maida can handle pressure. We know Jamesy Forrest can handle pressure. He's been doing it for over a decade. It's a no-brainer for me. So, yeah, Maida and Forrest.
Yeah. What about yourself? Kuhn, I don't want to write him off. This is the thing with Kuhn. I don't want to write him off. I know I've got Yang in that list of guys that I would move on, but I would move him on a loan deal to see if he can get up to the rigours of the Scottish game. I think there's a real test there with Yang. He's technically a good player. I've seen games where he's disappeared. I've seen games where he's been, taking off at half-time. And I'm looking at Kuhn and I'm thinking, right, you've shown flashes, a wee bit like Yang. Do you have a wee bit more to your game? Can you be a Celtic player? But you know what? I'll come back to him. He's a work in progress for me, Kuhn. And I think I'll come back to him next season, because what we need to do at the moment is just play the guys that are going to get us the results. I think Forrest and Maida are those two winners.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I think it was another really mature performance from Forrest. I just think he's getting stronger and stronger. Deserved his standing ovation when he went off. I was really impressed with him again. I don't know who Kyogo got mad of the match, but I thought Jamesy was one of our best performers as well. And Maida, I thought he looked really bright and straight back at it when he came on. He made a really good kind of run down the left hand side. One where he kind of cut it back, he didn't sky it out this time, but he looked really pacey, he looked really sharp. And yeah, you can just trust those two guys. I think this fixture's made for them. Forrest has had joy at Celtic Park against Rangers before. We spoke about that last week. I think a couple of good goals against them. So I think that's what we'll go with. I'd be very surprised if we don't. But Kuhn's been okay. I think he's reluctant, Jerry, sometimes to shoot, isn't he, on that left side, on his left foot. He gets into really good positions, but then maybe takes an extra touch or tries to take another guy on, and then the momentum's gone. So that's something he can work on. But overall, I think out of the other wingers, like you say, Yang, Palma, Kuhn, he's the one that you feel has got the most to offer right now. Palma's another one who's, started the season really well, really a lot of contributions, goals, assists, and he's just kind of came off it. But good to have him there again, and hopefully he can build that confidence in the next few games if we need him. But for me, Jamesy and Maida with Kyogo up top, that's the three that's going to get us over the line.
Just to add, when we're talking about Kuhn not shooting, we talk about players doing this sometimes and we think maybe it's a confidence thing. But do you ever think it's like, because they're still getting used to the gaffer's tactics and the way they play, do you think they're like, am I allowed to shoot at this point or should I be passing it? And by the time they've thought about that, they've maybe lost the ball.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that, Jerry. They're second guessing themselves rather than doing what's natural to them. I mean, there was a couple of times Kuhn stepped in and he kept stepping in, and you're thinking, right, you've lost it now, mate. That space that you're trying to look for isn't there. So you either do it or you release the ball. I do think that exists, Jen. And I think it is a confidence thing, getting to know the gaffer, getting to know your teammates, how they play. But, Kuhn, I'm going to put him in the same bracket as two other guys at the moment, right? Different types of players. But Palma and Navroski, I'm not willing to write these three guys off yet. Mm-hmm. I think that there are players in there. There's technical ability in the two wingers, without doubt. Navroski, it's a strange, strange situation because we've not seen enough of him, I don't think, to make a judgment. The same would go for Lagerbielk if it wasn't so clear that Rodgers doesn't rate him. Navroski's still there or thereabouts. And I think, given a pre-season, next season, these three guys may well be part of the first team thinking when it comes to starting 11s. I wouldn't bet against that. Now, Colin Watt, a very good friend of mine and many within the Axum team, and he was a big personality on the Axum team for a number of years. He spoke and he shared information with us over a number of months about a friend of his, Danny, who was fighting MND, young family from where Colin comes from, through in the Greenock area, and the boys were relentlessly raising cash for him. Danny lost his battle, unfortunately, so a big shout out to Danny's friends and family at this difficult time as well. Horrible disease, motor neuron disease, terrible, terrible affliction. So a big shout out to the family of Danny as well. Now, Jungle Lion, you bring up a great point. Walking down the tunnel, not shaking the opposition manager's hand, that is disrespectful. Yes, it is. 100%. And by the way, we don't miss a trick, Philippe. So if you're going to be using words like disrespectful, then we will have a dossier on all the times that you have done likewise. Mackie, the SFA have a duty of care to appoint match officials who aren't going to cause controversy before a ball is kicked. I've said this so many times. Is it just Scotland that, you know, you're sitting waiting on the announcement for the referee? You know, is there anywhere else in Europe that it's such a big deal?
Honestly, you're right. It is. It's literally the talk. It's a whole talking point. It'll be discussed on forums and podcasts, and it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't. But you see, I don't know if it was, we've got no officials going to the Euros. That says it all. You know, that shows you that this is not some kind of rose-tinted view from things from a Celtic perspective or from, you know, certain fans of Scottish football clubs. It's the standard is just, it's just not there. And the proof is in the pudding when you've got no officials going to these. And I think it might have been discussed in one of the other podcasts last week, but you've got Scotland should have officials at these big tournaments. Our standards should be better. You know, it's just, it's not okay. It's not one of the top leagues in Europe, but, you know, it's in the top 15. And for us to have none going there, I'm no surprise. There's not a week that goes by where we watch a game and we're like, oh, that was a good... You know, the key is when you're not talking about a referee after the game, that's when you know they've had a good game. Mm-hmm. But it's week in, week out, and it's not when we've just lost or dropped points. I think that's the important thing to remember here. We can win games, as you said. I don't think the performance by the ref on Saturday for our 3-0 victory was the best either. How they didn't see that handball by Shanklin when he's looking right at it, why that even needed to go to VAR.
Is there a reason he wasn't given another yellow for that? I mean, I know he was on a yellow, I seen, but I was thinking, going, right, okay, so why is he not going to get a yellow?
It's just the complete inconsistencies. It's one of those. I don't know if has it been announced for the weekend who we've got, or is that going to come maybe the next day?
Conor Wilson's on VAR, I think.
Well, Gary, you know, we're talking about Shanklin. The Shanklin player of the year, right? Okay, I've got my green tinted specs on, I get it. Matt O'Reilly has been bossing games in the Champions League. Matt O'Reilly's played so well, he's been getting caps for the Danish national team. Yet, Lauren Shanklin. Now, by the way, fair play to Lauren Shanklin and any heart supporting mates that I've got out there. Don't think I've got many, but there might be one or two. Who kept reminding me of the goal scoring. You know, we get used to goal scorers at Celtic, you know, scoring 30 goals a season and all this kind of stuff. That doesn't happen at Tynecastle. You know, I think for a long, long time, John Robertson was the only guy to score 20 goals in a season. And I'm talking for a couple of decades, that was a record. So yes, he's done well. Player of the year, though, I seen, over Matt O'Reilly.
I thought it was going to be between the two of them. But yeah, in terms of, you look at the spell that Matt O'Reilly had for the first half of the season, and then I think he's done it again in the last few big games. You look at his performance at Ibrox, thought he was brilliant at the weekend there. Like, look, that pass for Kyogo, that's world class. That's something that you see, like, so Luka Modric and Toni Kroos, stuff that you see them doing. You know, the vision is one thing to see it, but then to pull it off, kudos to Kyogo for the run. But
I often see it, Asim, but then I try and do it.
You know,
I see the space, just kind of make it happen.
I thought that was delicious, and I thought his overall performance was top notch. So I think he's head and shoulders the best player in the country, but I know that's not the point in terms of it's overall across the full season. So Shanklin's numbers have been very good, I'll be honest. I remember at the time when we were linked with him, and I still stand by it. I don't think it's someone that we should be signing, but some of his goals around about January, February, and his, you know, his numbers were top quality, so you can't argue with that. But yeah, again, from a Celtic point of view, and just overall, I think Matt O'Reilly has been the best player in Scotland this season. So slightly surprised, but at the same time, his numbers are good, so you can see why he's won it.
Yeah, he's done well, Jerry. He's not a guy that, you know, when that the big question was asked whether or not you would have signed him or Miofsky, I was getting called, you know, anti-Scottish footballer and all this kind of stuff. He's not a guy that I think would improve our side. That's the thing for me. And the big concern I had with Shanklin was he had had moves in the past that hadn't worked out. You know, he'd taken a step up and then had to take a step back again. Maybe with the experience that's improved. But I'm with Asim on this. I think that Matt O'Reilly, too much focus is on a patch of his performances that weren't up to the same level as the earlier ones this season. But I think he's back on the upward trajectory. I think he's put that behind him. He's spoken about the January interest from elsewhere and all that and how, you know, that can affect you. And I think whatever it is he taps into, because he's very, you know, much into, you know, talking to gurus and all this kind of stuff, I think that he's got it again. And that at the weekend, that pass was unbelievable, back to his best. He gets my vote. He would have got my vote, Jerry. You knew that anyway, didn't you?
He gets your vote, and I can only imagine your reaction when that tweet was put up about doing it, the gaming with the kids in hospital, because I knew you were in love with him. But after that, I was honestly going to send some help for your wife at some point there, because I know you'd have been over the moon with that one. Listen, we all know there's no doubt in my mind the two best players in the whole of the league are Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hitati. Hitati's been out injured all season, but Matt O'Reilly's had a great, great first half of the season, a good second half of the season, and a great past few games. But that's what they've managed to grab. Oh, he had a wee bad patch, but it wasn't a bad patch. It was just a quieter than his brilliant patch that he had. But they've taken.
Why hasn't he been taking our penalties all season, by the way?
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. I was just. He's hit three penalties, and every single one of them different and a belter.
Yeah.
The calmness of the guy. Now, you just need to look at what got voted goal of the season. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
No. What was
Matondo
it?
Matondo against us, mate. So just look at whoever's voting for us. Come on. Game's up, okay. We all know that. At the end of the day, we can see the quality is there. And judge us by how much we sell our players for, not by the player of the year trophies they've got. That's
by the way. Talking about goals, again, green tinted spectacles firmly on here, right? But you look at some of the goals. I mean, just that, and I know it was probably scored too late. The one at the weekend there, O'Reilly to Kyogo. What about the one on the outside of the boot, Palmer to O'Reilly against Motherwell? We've had some spectacular goals this season. Mm. I mean, Kyogo's first goal against Rangers this season
was better than Matondo's. That was better than Matondo's.
Why are they making these decisions now? And it's like, yep. Goal of the season, but only if you've scored it for the first three quarters of the season. The other ones don't count. That's madness. They're trying to put these award ceremonies on so as soon as the season finishes, you can get everyone off on holiday. No.
See the thing, Jerry?
Get out and then do them.
I know. And the thing is, I was actually at a Player of the Year dance yesterday afternoon. That's how I spent my Sunday afternoon with big John Hartson. It was Dundee St. James, who are a junior side, and they were putting out, for example, top goal scorer, right, okay, the top three who might win it come up to the stage. So it was exactly that. There's still three or four games to go. So they couldn't actually award it to anybody, but they got their wee round of applause anyway. But it was great. It was brilliant to be invited. Big John was sensational. We spoke about, obviously, his battle against cancer. He gave a speech that, honestly, there was quite a few tears in the room. Unbelievable, inspirational, the way that he speaks about almost right, that's his day one. You know, when he got over that was his day one in life. He had a different perspective, the way that he embraced life on a day-to-day basis. And of course, one of a few players who have scored over 100 goals for Celtic, 110 goals he scored. But as I was saying to you guys today, what a career the man had. 19-year-old, signs for Arsenal, the most expensive teenager in British football when he signs for Arsenal. He signed by George Graham. He had played for David Pleat at Luton. Arsene Wenger comes in. Dennis Bergkamp, Paul Merson, Ian Wright, the guys he played under. That team at West Ham, Harry Redknapp was a gaffer. And you had all the guys coming through, Rio Ferdinand, Joe Cole, Frank Lampard. Honestly, what a story he has. It was brilliant. And I love spending time with a big man as well, a fantastic striker. And he loves Celtic. You're talking about Ida having a Celtic tattoo, Jerry. The big man got a Celtic tattoo as well. It's the only football club he's got tattooed on his body. He was brought up a Swansea fan. Great guy. Loved it. And well done to all the guys that won the trophies. I almost gave the game away because I had all the lit and I left it on the table. The list of the winners, because obviously I mentioned them. I left it on the table. Schoolboy era. There we go. It's an hour in, but there's something in here. I need to bring it up here. Here we go. Steve Johnston, I am travelling this week with my disabled son from Australia. If anyone can provide two tickets for the Celtic versus Rangers game, I will happily donate £500 to the Jamie Tierney GoFundMe page. Brilliant gesture. Thank you, Stevie. If anyone can assist Stephen Johnston in his quest for a couple of tickets, then you know what, Stephen? I don't know if you're on social media, how we get in touch with you, but if anybody gets in touch with me, and you can do the same, Steve, pauljohndykes@gmail.com, and we'll put you in touch. Thank you very much for that. That was great. Jungle Lion opened up the show to say, let's have some fun today. Did we have some fun, guys?
After the ball.
Talking about Celtic. There we go. Thanks, everybody. 1,600 plus. We're almost 1,700 as we speak, as we wrap it up here on a Monday afternoon.
Next Monday could be pretty special.
It could be pretty special, by the way.
Why don't we do a live one? 1,600. That's the capacity of the pavilion in Glasgow. Let's just go there next Monday, guys. Just do it off of there.
That's incredible. Great shout. Thanks, everybody, really, for your support. Absolutely brilliant. Keep it up and join us again tomorrow at 12:30. All that's left for me to say, Asim Rabbani and Jerry Taylor, thank you for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.